Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Sync up.
Do you want to go bang?
Yeah.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, bang.
Oh no.
Our podcast. It's back.
Sing me a Monday song, baby.
All right. This one is from friend of the podcast, Jamie.
Shout out, Jamie.
The demon queen of high school has decreed it. She said Monday 8 a.m. there'll be a mini-sode. They'll hunt us down on Spotify. I haven't thought this through. Listen to us in their headphones. 30 hours to record. How shall we spend them? By recording. The mini-sode.
Yeah. Actually, little known fact is we spend actually about 30 hours recording the mini-sodes. Mm-hmm. You just get a really condensed version of it.
You guys, the mini-sodes, if you could hear the 29 hours that we cut out, your minds would explode.
I know. Everyone's like, how do you stay on? Like, everyone's like, you guys don't stay on track, man. And it's like, bitch, you don't even know the half of it.
Seriously. We are like curing cancer in these 29 hours.
Seriously.
We are like divulging government secrets.
Honestly,
and then we're like, we can't put this out there. We'll be killed.
I swear to God, half of the podcast is us trying to convince the other one to not reveal government secrets.
Yeah. And they're and like, every week I'm like, I'm going to do it.
And every week I'm going to do it. And we have to both hold each other back.
We have to talk each other down.
You know you and me.
If there's
we
one thing I know about it,
too much.
It is that we know too much about what goes on in the U.S. government.
Absolutely. Two fucking randos living in Utah.
Did you hear us talking about Bert running for Congress? If there's one thing you know about us, it's that we know how the government works.
We know the ins and outs of the government.
And that we know too much about how it works.
Uh-huh. Too much.
Did you guys miss us or what?
Oh my God, I missed us, frankly. Ugh.
Lena and I have not spoken since we recorded our last episode 2 weeks ago.
I was like, have we? No, we have. Ad nauseam.
And literally, I was living on Lena's couch for about 2 days this week. So
honestly, it was fun. We watched a lot of TV.
We
watched a lot of movies.
We did.
We watched a show called Only Murderers in the Building.
You guys, that show rocks.
It is so good, you guys. You should check it out. Yeah. That's the main thing we watched.
Dang.
No, we watched a lot of The Floor is Lava.
True. We also watched Diana the Musical.
Oh my God, did we watch Diana the Musical?
We did. Yo.
I could go on and on and on.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. We can't talk for 30 hours this week because we are, in fact, actively moving.
Yeah. Ian is moving in like, I don't know, an hour. I'm moving tomorrow.
I have to get checked out of my apartment in 2 hours. So we got to get this thing going.
I got
to
pack all my shit.
So, you know, tune in Wednesday for gaffes and goofs. Today we're going to put the mini in minisode.
Absolutely. What was I going to say? I just have like the worst ADHD I think has ever been in a person ever. Because I always like sit down like in my pile of shit to pack. And then I like get distracted by like some subreddit of something I don't give a shit about. You know what I mean?
That's why I hate packing myself. Is because I can't focus on it.
Yeah. I just like also owning things is a burden.
Owning things is a burden. I agree. I'm at an age where when I get like tangible gifts for my birthday, I'm like, thank you so much. Also, I have too many things. I'm like, I move too much for this.
I know. I've been watching this show called Ted Lasso, a show you should watch. Mm-hmm. But they end up getting the team ends up getting their therapist like a going away present that's just envelope full of cash. Oh my gosh, you know what, Trey, thank you so much for coming in, because I think that's the last time you guys will ever hear the squeaky door.
Everyone, bid a fond farewell to the squeaky door. We are leaving the apartment. The squeaky door will no longer be a guest on the pod.
Would you like to say something,
Trey? Can I tell a story?
Oh my god, please.
And now roommate Trey, who will no longer be living in the same apartment with me, is going to give his parting thoughts. Co-host of Mistletoe Secret Podcast.
So, Ian.
Yes, Trey.
Yesterday.
Yes.
During the tap battle.
Yes, a scene in Pirates of Penzance, everyone.
Did you know that somebody projectile vomited in the third row?
Wait, what? 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 Is this not a bit?
This is not a bit. So I found out about this last night. Somebody projectile vomited in the third row all over someone in the second row.
No.
And I quote... And I quote, the person who got projectile vomited on was okay with it.
Is this what you've been trying to tell
so
me all day?
Insightful.
Literally.
I'm glad you waited until the podcast.
All day, Trey has been calling me over to tell me something, and I have every time been on the phone, and he's like, oh, I'll tell you later.
Trey, I love you. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Serendipitous that it got saved so it could be shared live on air. That is wild.
I love that. You know who's projectile vomiting last night?
You.
My ass. Seriously. No, it was my mouth. I'm never going to drink again.
Dang. Never going to drink again. Guilty feet of God, no rhythm. Well, happy closing, Pirates. Apparently, we went out with a bang that we didn't even know about.
Someone didn't even see
fully
it.
Vomited during the final scene in the show.
Ew.
Whoa.
That's wild. Well, how do we move on from this? How about we listen to a voicemail from our friend Christine?
Heck yeah. For those who don't know, because I'm going to be honest, I forgot after taking a week off.
Yeah.
This is about the episode Heart.
Oh, we both had to. I had to check our Instagram to see which episode this was about.
Yeah. Frankly, this last week was craziness.
Honestly, I don't know who we are anymore.
All right, Christine. Bring us, center us again, bring us back home to the loving arms of Ryan Murphy and Hart.
Hi guys, it's Christine, she, her. I'm in the middle of listening to your episode on Hart, and I just had to pause it and come on here and talk because you guys just got finished talking about like Rory and Sugar and like their little storyline. And I'm kind of embarrassed because apparently I've been watching this episode wrong for years because I always thought that Rory was like being... conniving and like made up the fact that he was going back to Ireland at the end of the year in order for Sugar to date him, because like while they're dancing and she's like, I'm gonna miss you so much, and then he's like, when? Like, he totally doesn't know what she's talking about. And then she's like, when you get deported, which obviously he's not getting deported, but like I always, and then he was like, oh shit, and then like, well, let's not think about that. So I always thought that he made it up, and then I just thought that the writers forgot to make him not like forgot to have him take it back. So they just got rid of him after the season. And I'm so embarrassed that this is how I've been watching it for so many years.
Christine.
Where in the world have you been hiding? Christine, I don't think you should be... Oh my gosh.
Christine.
Where in the world have you been hiding? Christine.
Christine.
Where the that you've been hiding. For real, though, I do not think you should be embarrassed, because actually we got a lot of messages that actually had the same read on this interaction, that they all thought that like Rory was being conniving to like try and make Sugar feel bad. Mm-hmm. And I think I totally can see it that way. However, if that's what they meant, I don't think they did a clear enough job, because Ian and I both didn't get that. Yeah. But a lot of people felt that way as well.
I'm confused about it, because exactly what Lena said. If that was the intention, it's not clear that he is being conniving. And like you said, Christine.
Where in the world have you been hiding?
He then does leave after the season. Like, he is correct that his visa wasn't extended. And so I guess, like, I don't know. Like, my understanding was, like, he was saying, oh, I tried to apply to get my visa extended to be here another year, mm-hmm. and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And Sugar misunderstood and was like, oh, he's getting deported and it's happening, like, next week.
Yeah.
That also isn't clear, though.
Definitely not.
So I just think across the board, I don't know. It's confusing. The squeaky door is back. He's having his say. He's not going to go quietly into that good night. But yeah, honestly, so many people reached out to us about this that now I am doubting our own conclusions.
Yeah, totally.
So you know what? It's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. You know what I was just thinking about?
What?
I fully remember someone getting up and leaving right before the tab battle.
Oh my gosh, I remember that too. Yeah, and I was like, dang, the show's almost over, dude.
I know, yeah. It was on House Right. And it was like three people who ended up leaving, and then one person kind of left afterwards.
Yo, he totally had vomit on him.
He totally did. I didn't smell it, thank goodness.
I mean, I didn't see it, but I'm assuming. I would have threw up. Because I was legitimately, I saw that person stand up, and I was like, you really can't stand the show that much that you're not going to stay for the last 5 minutes. Mm. But I mean, if you got puke on you, you got to get out of there.
Yeah, you got to get out of there.
No shame. Okay. Back to Christine.
Where in the world have you been hiding?
Point. You know, Lena and I, if there's one thing you know about us, is that we know too much about how the government works.
Exactly.
And so we know too much
deportation.
Yeah, about what counts as deportation and what doesn't.
Yes.
I think, you know, Rory, we don't know this because we're idiots. I think Rory isn't getting deported because, like, he is agreeing to leave, you know? Mm-hmm. That it's like, oh, he was always going to stay until the state, and so he's just going to stay until the state. It's not like he's forcibly being removed.
Yes.
Anyways, all this to say that joke apparently is very confusing.
Yeah. I just think this show doesn't know what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, Christine.
Christine.
Where in the world have you been hiding? Really, you were perfect. I only wished I knew your secret. Who is your great tutor?
Father once spoke of an angel. I used to dream he'd appear. Now as I sing, I can sense him, and I know he's here. Thank you so much for this message.
Yeah, thanks heaps. Up next, we have a message from Georgia.
Hey guys, I'm Georgia, pronouns she, her from the UK.
International listener!
And I just wrote in to say that, Lena, you are so right about guitars being just a guy thing. I have kind of a hot take / theory about why this is. If you look at the girls in this show, you have all the powerhouses. The squeaky door was like, I literally don't care. Are you still talking about Glee? Get out of this house.
I know,
well,
literally.
Squeaky door, you only have to put up with it for 29 more hours. Calm down. If you look at the girls in the show, you have all the powerhouses like Rachel, Mercedes, Santana, and later on, Unique and Marley. The girls are carrying the show with their vocal range and the diversity in songs they can pull off. When you add in the softer, more underrated voices like Quinn and Tina, you can see how distinctive they all are and how they have a purpose in terms of what songs they can pull off, and they do pull it off nearly every single time. The boys, however, don't quite have this range. Other than Blaine and Kurt, who have incredible range and can pull off so many kinds of songs, the guys are pretty limited and indistinguishable from one another vocally.
That is so true.
Sure, they're all good singers and can carry a tune well, but tell me one thing that Puck's voice has that Sam and Joe can't do. They all are at about the same range and are here for generic pop sounding vocals, and you can easily swap out one for the other. So the showrunners have to distract us from how out of balance the level of talent in the show are and justify the guy's presence in the show. If they have an okay voice, just throw a guitar in their hands so it looks like they're twice as talented. This is probably a very hot take, so feel free to disagree with me. I'm no vocal coach, so maybe the guys' voices are better than I give credit for. Ian, as a male singer, I'd be really interested to hear your take. Hope you guys are well. Can't wait for the next episode. Georgia. Georgia, I don't think, which also you don't think this because you didn't say this. I don't think the male vocalists on this show are untalented, but mm-hmm. I completely agree with you. They hired a bunch of men who sound the same.
The same, yeah.
They did not, like everything you said. For the women, they really were like across the board diversity and mm-hmm. vocal quality mm-hmm. and sound. And all the men, they were like, I don't know, can you do like kind of a pop rock thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I remember, in like season one, when I was, you know, living on the IMDb Glee message boards, that
I remember it fondly.
People complained all the time about how Mark Salling and Corey Monteith, A, already have like a similar voice type, mm-hmm. and then B, were being auto-tuned so much
yeah.
that you couldn't tell whose voice was whose.
Absolutely. There are times when I listen to like group songs and I have no idea which boy is singing. Mm-hmm. And I think the person with like the most unique voice out of like the male castmates is Kevin McHale.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And I think like Kevin and Darren and Chris have like unique.
Darren and Chris Colfer. That confused my mind. You have so much, you have no idea. Darren, Chris Colfer.
Wow. I think Darren, Chris Colfer and Kevin, I think Kevin and Chris have very unique voices. Yeah. I think Darren has a very versatile voice.
That's true.
And so you can always pick them out. But the rest of them, I think they all have good voices. Mm-hmm. But it's all like, oh, yeah, it's
like Sam, I don't know, one of the four. Finn. Yeah, literally. Georgia, I agree with this take so much. And I totally didn't even think about it being in like they're just trying to like make them seem a little more talented, not being that they're untalented, but you'd think that they would like pick a new instrument. Like, I don't know. Give Sam the clarinet, for God's sakes.
I also think a lot of the women on the show have such a natural stage presence.
That's true.
And they know how to stand and sell a song.
Mm-hmm. A lot of like boys, even actors, like don't know what to do with their hands, you mm-hmm. know? And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think
do what Diane Agron does, put them on your hips.
Or do a little flexed wrist little action. Flex. Come on. But yeah, I think just like the men, specifically the men who get guitars. Because I mean, like Kevin McHale knows how to sell a song. He's also like in a boy band.
Yeah.
And like Darren Chris, you know, was like going to UMich, getting that sweet, sweet BFA. But I think a lot of UMich. Them who just kind of were actors, but not necessarily like musical theater people. They just don't super know what to do with their hands during songs, so they just get guitars yeah, to cover it up.
Totally. That's crazy.
Dang.
Georgia, thanks heaps for your insight. I really appreciate it and really opened my mind. Up next, we have a message from Caitlin.
Caitlin.
We're going to leave Georgia out of it then. Georgia.
Hey, Lena and Ian. My name is Caitlin, she, her. I'm from Central Wisconsin, and I wanted to write in to share my thoughts on the character of Joe Hart. I'll start by saying that similar to Joe, I was also homeschooled for most of my life and made the transition to public school during high school. I'm now a college grad in my 20s and a recovering Gleek. But anyway, as you both talked about during the episode, Joe is incredibly one-dimensional and exists mostly as a love interest for Quinn. I find this so bothersome because of Joe's unique situation that would have been perfect to explore in his own plot lines. We have this character that was homeschooled his whole life. He says his mom was his best friend, making the transition into having a wider social circle, friends, classes, a set schedule, etc. That's a big change. For homeschooled kids, this can come as quite a shock, and it definitely took me a while to acclimate. Socially, I was a complete outsider, especially since most of my classmates had known each other since kindergarten. I often get asked about what that high school transition was like for me, so I think it's something that could have been explored through the character of Joe and would have made for compelling television. But unfortunately, it seems like Joe was written as a typical stereotype. Most homeschool kids have more friends than their mom. When I tell people that I was homeschooled, they're surprised because I don't seem like I was homeschooled, and they assume I'm deeply religious, which I'm actually not. There's definitely a stereotype there, and characters written like Joe just make me groan. All this being said, I actually adore the episode Heart, and I'm pretty sure L-O-V-E will be one of my top songs on Spotify Wrapped this year, because Tina's vocals send me. The shot from above Sugar as she twirls and hearts fall around her is pure bliss. Anyway, I love the podcast and hope you enjoy this perspective. Caitlin, she, hers.
Caitlin, I did enjoy this perspective. I think that's such like a, it could have been such an interesting thing to do. And I think instead of doing the homeschool angle, they really took the religious angle, which is an angle we already have on this show. And Caitlin, you're so right. I think it would have been way more interesting to go at it from, even if it's the same plot of Heart, where it's like, oh, he's grappling with, he's never met a gay person before, like maybe he's just like, you know, this is a new idea that he needs to grapple with. And if it came from like a homeschool thing, yeah, I just think that would have been, I don't know, just fun. And like, you're so right, Caitlin, like that transition is so interesting, and if you're gonna give me a high school character, let me see that, you know. Yeah, totally.
I think it just is a testament to how much Glee does not care about these characters outside of romantic relationships.
Totally.
Unless they're Rachel Berry. That, like,
yeah,
anytime a non-Rachel character gets screen time, it is because of a romantic relationship drama. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Caitlin, and like you were saying, Lena, there's all this unexplored stuff with Joe that could make for very interesting television, mm-hmm, but it doesn't have to do with him having a girlfriend. So yeah, why do we care? Yeah.
Why do we care?
Yeah, we got to link him up with Quinn because we ran out of content with her. She's been single too long.
Seriously.
And then we'll just deal with that.
Seriously. Caitlin.
So sick of relationships on the show.
Seriously, I'm over it.
Just let people be single and interesting for a while.
Do you remember the little girl on Vine who went, it's freaking bad, it's a little Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
She's like my favorite child Vine ever, star, yeah, ever. She's my favorite child on this planet.
Yes.
There's this one video of her, and she's just little, and she goes, just go be single. Either go to the boyfriend's door or be single. And she's just like freaking out about like, it's okay, you could be single. And it is so sweet. And that's me to Quinn Fabre.
Someone send that to Ryan Murphy.
Honestly.
Gall. Goodness sakes.
Caitlin, thank you so much for your thoughts. Up next, we have a message from Kayla. Lots of K's here in the screen.
Kayla. Kayla.
Where in the world have you been hiding?
I would love to see a production where Meg is sung that way.
Dude, sign me
just
up.
Just pure pop. But the rest of the show,
yeah,
is sung normally, it's sung legit,
yeah,
and then Meg just sings pop, yeah, vocals the
no
whole show.
No one acknowledges it,
yeah, it's never mentioned,
yeah. And like, you read reviews and you're like, I feel like people shouldn't be talking about this more, what's going on?
And also Meg dresses in like 21st century clothing.
Ooh, I like that.
It's just like never really explained what's going on. And totally. And it works especially because Meg is a central enough character, yeah, that you will notice, but she's not too central that you'll be like, wait, what's going on here?
You know what Meg makes me think of?
What?
Love Never Dies, the musical.
And the fact that she fully tries to murder Christine.
It's so that big. That's a big spoiler for Love Never Dies, but y'all, that shit is whack.
That's honestly, I have so much beef with Love Never Dies. My number one beef
so
is Meg, who is just like, sweetie, such a good friend to Christine, mm-hmm, cares about her so much, is turned into an attempted murderer, mm-hmm, who has the hots for the Phantom, mm-hmm, and is willing to like do anything it takes to get him to bang her.
Listen,
what is that about?
I don't understand. To me, I really enjoy the Phantom of the Opera. I think it's very, mm-hmm, special. I think, mm-hmm, it's beautiful. I think Love Never Dies is like, it takes everything away from especially the female characters.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, I could go on and on. My dissertation should be about Love Never Dies, I swear.
I feel like it takes everything away from everyone who isn't the Phantom.
Absolutely.
Like, and it's, you like know, like Raoul and the Phantom, he's not like super interesting.
Yeah.
But like, you get the feeling that like, you know, he's like a good enough dude.
Yeah.
And then suddenly in Love Never Dies, it's like, no, actually,
he's
Raoul is a drunk and he's abusive.
Yeah.
It was like,
like, where did this come from?
It's because Andrew Lloyd Webber,
yes,
views the Phantom as himself.
Yes. Every author's got one.
Yeah.
Andrew Lloyd Webber's is the Phantom.
Yes. And he views Christina Sarah Brightman. And so he is just constantly trying to write a fictional world where Sarah Brightman takes him back and they can be married again. And he was like, well, crap. You know, the Phantom did kind of like murder a few people in the first show. So he's like, how do I make the Phantom look like the best option for Sarah Brightman? Oh, I make the guy she ended up with be an alcoholic and abusive all of a sudden. And then just like everyone's obsessed with him. It is as if he has not seen The Phantom of the Opera, even though he wrote it.
I know. I think Love Never Dies is one of the funnest pieces of musical theater I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
It is like, it's the clock metaphor that you talked about. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so bad that it is so good.
Yeah.
Like, it is fucking interesting. And like, the twists and turns, it's so good.
It's crazy. It is a soap opera.
It is.
Lena and I watched it together two Halloweens ago. It was a wild ride.
Oh my gosh, I remember you like live tweeted the whole thing.
That was a great time.
That was so good.
Love Never Dies.
What's the sound that he sings with all the creatures in the basement? He brings the kid down.
That like all the creatures like in the glass pillars coming by. It's really about like spooky. The world below. And hear me out. It sounds like it's about sex. And it is fully
sexual. It is like
the Phantom, and he's with like a 10-year-old boy, and like it clearly intentionally. That was not Andrew Lloyd Webber's intention.
No.
But like the vibe of the song is very sexual, mm-hmm. and it is the Phantom and a genuine child on stage that he's singing to.
How does that song go? I need to listen to it before I can even deal with my own feelings. All right. Kayla, I promise we'll get to you. I just need to know what this song sounds like. The Beauty Underneath!
The Beauty Underneath.
We do not have to play this on the podcast.
Go look up The Beauty Underneath from Love Never Dies.
Listen, there's a really, frankly, it's a really good pro shot on Broadway HD, and I think a lot of it is on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's pretty good for how freaking weird that musical is.
Oh, man. Crazy. Character Assassination, the musical.
Truly.
Ryan Murphy saw that show, and he took notes.
He took notes. He said, interesting. Quinn Favre, I've got some ideas for you. Kayla, take it away.
Hi, Lena and Ian. Oh, my God. I thought I was going to mess up your names. This is Kayla, she, her again. I have a quick story and then a quick question to follow up. So one of my mental health providers or whatever, his wife is a model and they went to New York for New York Fashion Week. And at one of the shows, there was like a big crowd of people around someone and he was wondering who it was and it turns out it was someone from Glee. After some digging, we found out it was Lea Michele. And to be fair, I was really jealous that he got to experience, you know, something so amazing as Glee is so near and dear to my heart. And my question is, if you saw Miss Lea Michele, Rachel Berry, out in public, what would you ask her? Or who would you prefer to see out in public from Glee? Love you so much. Consensual forehead kisses.
Kayla, great question. Frankly, I have a really tough time meeting celebrities. I find it very anxiety-inducing. So I don't know that I would even like ask her a question. I think if I met Lea Michele, I would probably let her know how much Glee meant to me. I'd probably name drop our podcast. But I don't think I'd ask her any questions. Especially because, like, I'm not the bitch to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I am so with you on that. Meeting celebrities terrifies me.
Yeah.
I more like want to see a celebrity from afar.
Yes, like be at dinner with like
And like see them like across the restaurant.
Yes.
But if I see them across the restaurant, I'm not gonna get up and say hi. I'm just gonna be like, oh cool, I like saw them.
Yeah, totally. And like I always want to meet celebrities in like situations that I feel like I have a little bit of control over. Just because like I feel so bad because celebrities are people and it's like I feel so bad like asking them. Frankly, I've not met a lot of celebrities. I'm from Utah. But I feel so bad like asking them for photos or like taking up their time. So if like a celebrity like ended up like being at a thing I was also at, like I've told you my dream way to meet Taylor Swift is at one of my performances at Wicked the Musical.
When you're playing Elphaba.
Where I'm playing Elphaba and I'm like in my green still.
Yeah. And then there's the picture of you backstage is still in your green makeup and with Taylor Swift.
Yes. And then I'm like crying and we're like holding hands on the couch. And then like my partner, I have to take a shower in the Alphabet shower, obviously, because I got to get ungreen. But my partner takes a photo of me.
You got to get sitting. They got to degreenify you.
Degreenify you. But I'm sitting like Kermit the Frog. You know what I mean? Like with his like little knees up.
Yes.
So it's like just a very like, oh my God, can you just believe? So that's how I want to meet Taylor Swift. I could never just meet her on the fucking street.
Yeah.
That being said, I do have Glee characters I would rather meet. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I agree that like, you know, I don't really want to be like, oh, that celebrity's here, I'm going to go up and talk to them. Yes. But if it was like, you know, down the road, I'd find more success in my career and I end up like working on a project with someone from Glee, who would I want to be working with? I think Amber Riley seems awesome.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think Amber Riley seems like the kindest person on the planet.
Absolutely.
And also just like very funny. Mm-hmm. I think she would be my number one.
I love that.
Yeah. Frankly, a lot of the cast, though, I like would love to be friends with. Totally. They just seem like cool people.
I agree. I think my number one, probably just because I have a crush on her, would be Diana Agron. But like, no, I don't know that I would even like, I'd probably be like, great job on Shiva, baby. You know, but I don't know. We'll see. I also, could you imagine if any of them were on this podcast? I wouldn't know how to act.
I would just get nervous because, you know, like, they're like pretty self-aware about like Glee.
Yeah.
And also like, we do come from a place of love. We're like, we love Glee. That's why we care about it so much.
Yeah.
But also like, you know, it's kind of like when someone makes fun of your sibling. And it's like, I can make fun of it, you can't. And so I don't want to like be talking about them and then like say something about the show that is like too far.
And be like, ugh, Mr. Chu. And they're like, I just don't get that, you know?
Yeah, and have them be like, cool, this was actually like also a very important part of my life during like very developmental years. Oh my God, and I don't like you trashing on it. That's like my
biggest fear ever.
Yeah.
Like, and we are pretty candid on this show about like, things we don't like practices we don't enjoy. And I just think the minute that like the lines start to blur and people start coming on this show is the minute that I'm nervous about what I can and can't say.
Yeah.
You know? And I also truly don't think fans make good interviewers.
No.
You know?
Well, that's the thing. If we ever had a cast member of Glee on this show.
Yeah.
We would not be able to do our normal format.
No. It would have to be like a different episode.
It would just have to be they lead the episode and then we can like ask questions every once in a while to kind of like keep the conversation going.
Totally.
But like, I don't want to share like my dumb opinions about this show from watching it when like someone who lived it is on the episode.
God, if we were to like even do Heart, the episode, and have someone on who was like, I don't know. Even if it was like Kevin McHale, it's like, I wouldn't know how to, it couldn't be what it normally is.
Can you imagine if Samuel Larson was on that episode and I was like, hey, I think your character is the most boring character in the history of Glee.
That's hurtful, you know? And like, I feel the same about like, you know, especially Damian McGinty and Samuel Larson, because I feel related to them in a way when like, it's like, they were fans of the show first. Yeah. Exactly. And we watched them get those jobs. And then it's like, oops, sorry, your job ended up shit. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I could never.
All this to say, like, hypothetically, we would love to meet the Glee cast if fates allow.
Mm-hmm.
We are not going to go out of our way to make that happen.
No. And, like, maybe when we finish the show and we can, like, conduct interviews when we are not, like, on a schedule.
Yeah.
Maybe that sounds wild, but we're also, frankly, not professional podcasters. I know we fucking fooled you. We're actually just holders of government secrets.
Yeah, that's the reason our podcast is as successful as it is.
Because we know some secrets.
We got dirt on some very powerful people. Oh, wait. Trey Pletnicki, friend of the podcast, roommate of the podcast, has one final thought.
So, about the throat thing.
Oh, my gosh.
I forgot to add this. So I was talking with the house manager who has house managed for many seasons. Their name is Nicole. They told me that this was the season of understudies and people throwing up because they have never seen so many people throw up during these productions here.
Oh my word.
Like that was just the tip of the iceberg. Like they said they were having to clean up throw up in the Engelstad, the outdoor theater. They said people were throwing up left and right.
What on earth? I mean, Lena and I have talked about this. Like Trey said, we had like quite a few understudies go on this season, like more than has ever happened with this theater festival. And Lena has a working theory that it's because everyone's been inside for like almost 2 years and your immune systems are just kind of shot.
Well, here's my theory. Are you ready?
Yes.
My theory is a lot of the restaurants weren't having too many business days for the past year and a half because not only were not a lot of tourists coming in because of the festival, but also that like people just have distrust in going out. So they were possibly using food that hasn't been used in a while. Or just generally, there's like heavy supply issues going on in the country. So maybe they're going to different suppliers and those suppliers aren't necessarily as good or reliable. So people are just vomiting like there's no tomorrow.
My word. You know who else is a holder of government secrets?
Trey Plutnicki, baby. Trey
Plutnicki.
Thanks for your insight. Okay, see you later.
There's a squeaky door.
I love him.
Squeaky door said, finally something interesting on this podcast.
Ooh.
Well, that's heart.
That's heart for ya. Well, are you ready to play the relative pitch game? Frankly, my voice is very tired today because I've been throwing up all night. Not because of restaurants, but because I don't know how to hold alcohol.
Frankly, I feel like my voice is tired every time we play this game. So, you know what? We're just going to do it. We got L-O-V-E by Nat King Cole. Let Me Love You by Mario. Stereo Hearts by Gym Class Heroes featuring Adam Levine. Home by Michael Bublé. I Will Always Love You, the Whitney Houston version, but originally by Dolly Parton. Did you know that she wrote that in the same day that she wrote Jolene? You're the Top from Anything Goes. Cherish Cherish from Madonna by Madonna / The Association. And Love Shack by the B-52s.
Mm-hmm. I think it's my turn to go.
Cool. I'm going to have you sing Home by Michael Bublé.
Glee did so many songs called Home, so we're just going to take a shot in the dark here on which one it is. Okay. So, let me think. Jamie McGinty. Okay. I mean, I just think it's Another Summer Day Has Come and Gone Away in Paris and Rome, but I want to go home. That's what I think it is.
Okay, so you think that Another Summer Day is F, A flat, C.
Okay, y'all ready? I'm guessing which one is. I think it's this one. I'm right, baby.
Ah, you nailed it.
Oh, but the lyrics that they're showing me are Alabama, Arkansas, I do love my mom. That's funny.
Okay, here's the deal.
Was I right?
I wasn't. That was EGB, which is a half step flat of what I played. But I also wasn't 100% sure about what I played. So we're going to do an insert that will say where I will be able to compare. Great. That will say if you are a half step sharp or if you are right on the money.
Eek!
Woo! She was a half step sharp.
Okay, I would like you to sing. I want you to sing Let Me Love You.
I hate to tell you. Is that way? Is that Let Me Love You and I Will Love You? Is it? Okay, well, then I do know that song.
And the lyrics are, Baby, I just don't get it. Do you enjoy being hurt? I know you smell the perfume.
This is not the Let Me Love You.
Oh, no. Then let's do a different one.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know this song.
No, that's okay. Do L-O-V-E.
Okay. I do know that one. I truly have no clue. But we've already established that I just do this game for fun. L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very. Extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore and love. Okay, I swear I was literally like in between an A and a B flat on a quarter pitch there. We're just going to go with B flat. So we're going to say that I sang. Which is B flat, A, G, G flat.
Ready?
Yeah. Literally not even close. Once again, I am a step and a half off the All Red trademark. That's a G, not a B flat. L, dang it.
It's so funny because you truly are one of the most musically inclined people I know. Just your relative pitch is just...
My relative pitch is garbage. It's really bad.
True. But like you pick up like, you know, you can like play the anything like by ear usually. Like you like picking out pitches on the thing, and you can play the guitar in like two sessions and know like two whole songs. What the fuck is up with you? You're an anomaly.
It's just to make up. It's just to make up that I was cursed with terrible relative pitch. Mm. Oh well.
There we are. Well, that's your minisode, y'all.
Dang, there it is.
Thanks for letting us take a little week off.
Yeah, dang, we needed it. Let me tell you,
we did. If you, the next episode we're doing is On My Way. Mm-hmm. So if you have thoughts on that episode you'd like to share with us, you can send them to anchor.fm/recoveringgleek, or you can send them to our Gmail, recoveringgleek@gmail.com. I would, however, if you're going to share things, I would please put trigger warnings in your email just to like keep these little kids safe.
Yeah.
Thanks in advance for doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Love you, guys.
Love you, guys.
See you here in 2 days.
See you here in 2 days.
Let's hit it. Say goodbye to the squeaky door.
I'm going to miss him.
Say goodbye to our Pirates of Penzance stories, but not quite yet, because I'm sure we'll have some to share on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But then after that, say goodbye to those.
Yeah.
And say hello to us not having acting jobs again.
Oh, my God. You guys, I'm miserable.
Ooh. Being an actor is so fun because even when you have a job, you still don't have a job because you have to constantly be trying to find more work. Well,
love you guys. We'll see you soon. Later. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.